this summer we're going to do a series on, we're calling it The Dynamics of a Disciple, what it really means to be a disciple of Christ. We're going to look at many different aspects of that. If you look inside of your little bulletin, we have some verses we're going to read to get started. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, and it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Matthew chapter 28, verse 23 and 26. "And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much as the sea was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Then lastly, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Is the first aspect that we're going to look at when it comes to a disciple is that a disciple is a follower. Many talk in Christian realm about being followers or a disciple of Christ, but few even know what that really means to be a follower, disciple of Christ. A disciple is one who is more than just a Christian. In other words, they're not just saved. Okay, their relationship with God goes beyond that moment when they trusted Christ as their Savior. In other words, their life is more than just having salvation. Salvation has them. In other words, that moment of salvation, that time they trusted Christ, has totally transformed their life and made them completely different. It's more than just having Jesus. For most people, Jesus is nothing more than a bumper sticker and some type of little thing, you know, some pithy little statement instead of Jesus really having them. But what is a disciple? The dictionary defines a disciple as a follower or student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. So if you're a disciple, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. He teaches us and he leads us. Spiritually, the dictionary defines it as a person, in a Christian sense, a personal follower of Jesus during his life, especially one of his 12 apostles. Now, God wants us to be followers today. If we are a disciple, that means we are a learner that follows Jesus Christ and seeks to put into practice everything that he tells us to do and everything that he shows us. If you want to put these definitions together, you could say this: a disciple is one who puts into practice and does what Jesus says and is willing to make the sacrifices it takes to be what he wants. And fact of the matter is, very few Christians actually do that. Okay, we have so watered down Christianity in our society that we don't even know what it really means to follow Jesus Christ. We think it just means showing up to church every now and then, or doing something to him, or throwing $5 in the offering plate every now and then, or putting a bumper sticker on our car, or owning a Bible. So much more than that. So I want us to talk about and learn about the truth that disciples are followers. We will look at many verses that teach this, and we'll get principles from them that help us to understand that what it means to follow Jesus. Most Christians today in the evangelical realm call them, they don't even like the word Christian as much anymore. They like to use the word Christ follower. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Christ follower, except that term is so generic now, and it just, it really doesn't mean anything. And it ought to be. Means something. Most people that say that have no clue what it means to follow Christ. Just because you got saved and trust Christ does not automatically make you a follower of Jesus Christ. To trust him as Savior is one thing. To be a follower implies action, dedication, and sacrifice, and not all Christians do that. We get so caught up in the newest Christian phrase or promotion. You know, WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do, right? Most people didn't do what Jesus did. Okay, it's nothing more than a slick marketing campaign. How about, I don't know if there's popular, the Not of This World. What do? They produce clothing with Jesus on it that looks exactly like what this world is, to be real honest with you. The prayer of Jabez was big many years ago. It was all about praying by people who never prayed. And then the purpose-driven life. How about the Savior-driven life? Now, before we get started, many years ago I read an article. It was called What Would Jesus Do? It was by a man named Walter Kern of GQ magazine. He was not a Christian. And his whole thought was he decided for 1 week he was going to live like a Christian. He called it going into the ark. He goes, I'm going to go into the ark for a week. Now, I'm going to read you some of the things that he says. And if you listen, some of it's an indictment on our new type of Christianity. I didn't tell you everything. Some of the things he said, like, you know, he made his kids watch Christian cartoons for the day, and the kids did nothing complaining because it was so generic. And he read the book, you know, the books about the rapture, and he says you get to the end, and they're trying to get you to buy another book. But here's what he said. This is a man. Here's what his article. He says, what would Jesus do? But more importantly, what were Jesus' fitness secrets? If you were one of the growing millions of Americans living in the multi-million dollar Christian alterniculture in which everything in mainstream culture gets cloned, you'd know. And by the way, that's true. Most of Christianity is just trying to take what the world says, throw Jesus on it, and make a dollar off of it. So he spent 7 days living in the ark. He said on day one, today I have left behind the fallen world of secular American pop culture and enter the self-contained parallel universe of American Christian pop culture. Day two, that's the convincing logic of the ark. That's what he's calling Christianity. If a person is going to waste his time cranking the stereo, clicking the remote, reading paperback pulp, which garbage books, and chasing fad diets, he might as well save his soul while he's at it. Holy living, now this is him, okay? This is an unsaved guy. Holy living no longer requires self-denial. On the ark, every mass diversion has been cloned, from internet sites to MTV to action movies. And it's possible to live inside the Spirit without unplugging oneself from modern life 24 hours a day. Day three, he goes to the Christian bookstore to get, he called it ark supplies, okay? At the Family Christian Bookstore in Bozeman, Montana, the multimedia spiritual emporium where I bought CDs and my other ark supplies, a poster above the music rack matches name brand acts from secular radio with their closest sanctified equivalents. For me, the chart confirmed a preconception that Christian rock is a cultural oxymoron, a calculated systematic ripoff, not a genuine surge of inspired energy. Now, this guy's not saved. Are you with me? He caught it. I wish some Christians would catch it. Day seven, the last day. What makes this stuff so, it was a cuss word, so thin, so weak, so demoralizing has nothing to do with the faith. The problem is a lack of faith. Art culture is a bad Xerox. For those of you that don't understand, that means copy. We used to use Xerox machine, right? He goes, and art culture is a bad Xerox of the mainstream, not a truly distinctive or separate achievement. Without the courage to lead, it numbly follows, picking up the major media scraps and gluing them back together with a cross on top. Now, we wouldn't want to admit that, but that's exactly what fake Christianity is. We don't want to really be a follower of Jesus. We want to say we're a follower of Jesus, and we want to follow Jesus by taking everything that's rotten in this world, pasting a cross on it and saying, ta-da! How come an unsaved man understands that? He's not a follower of Christ. We must be very careful. The undeniable truth is that we don't want real Christianity, so we try to water it down for the masses, thinking it will appeal to them. By the way, the very thing they're trying to do doesn't work. It doesn't. They're trying to water down Christianity to make it palatable to those who aren't saved, and those who aren't saved could care less. It's Christians who are buying into it, and they're living a watered-down lifestyle. Therefore, they will never reach the world. Right. So what'd you just say? I have no idea, but it's true. They want to reach the world by doing something that will totally make them incapable of reaching the world. This guy caught it. By the way, let me just say this. The world does the things of the world better than Christians do. Yeah. Years ago, I went to the Ark, the Lighthouse book, Christian bookstore. How many remember that? It went out of business. That's probably a good thing. And I went in there. I thought I'd find a book or something. And they had a Christian rock group. Apparently, they were Christian because they were in the Christian store. They looked, they had hair all over the place and spiky and purple and makeup guys. Makeup on, spikes, and it's like they didn't smile. They played the part really well, but I'm like, you are nothing like the real rock and rollers. You're just a fake imitation. But that doesn't help anybody. The point is, we got to get over this fake Christianity, and we got to buy into the real thing. Yes, sir. Quit trying to Christianize paganism. The Christian knockoff of the world only creates an appetite for the world. You say, prove it. Don't follow, but read up on all of any CCM Christian artists. They'll all tell you who their musical influences are, and they're all unsaved rock bands. The Southern Baptist Convention just had their main convention, and their current president got up on stage with four other guys. Southern Baptist Convention, the leaders of their denomination, the leaders, the pastors of their churches, they got up as part of their service, the four guys, and danced around and sang to Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Secular rock band. I don't even know where to go with that. We create that appetite, and then we wonder why we buy into it. Well, we do really because it appeals to the flesh. Now, before we get into the first point, which is probably the only one we'll get to tonight, Jesus doesn't do very well with lip service followers. He just doesn't. Read the verse there in Matthew chapter 8 there. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, we would have said, that's great, come on. We got another one. Jesus wanted to check out and see if he was legit. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He's like, you really want to follow me? I don't even have anywhere to sleep. Are you really in? He wasn't really in. So Jesus does not soft soap it. So what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, which really a disciple is a follower of Christ? If you're a disciple, you will only be a disciple because you have chosen to. In other words, on the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea for them. That pictures salvation. They came out of Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea, and that pictures salvation. And God parted the waters, and then when they were through, God closed the waters. But when they went into the Promised Land, the land that God promised them, the land that they had to choose to go into, God did not part the Jordan River until they stuck their foot in the water. It was a different decision they were making. And by the way, the first group didn't make it, and they paid very dearly for it. So it's a choice you make. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to just be saved. So what does it mean? Number one, disciples are followers on a different path. Disciples are followers on a different path. The verses we read earlier. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this is not the first time that Peter and Andrew had met Jesus. They met him earlier in their life. You saw that in John chapter 1. But they had went back to their fishing, and Jesus now comes, and he's starting to get his disciples together, and he calls these men very specifically, and he tells them to leave what they're doing, come and follow me. And they did. That was a life-changing decision for them. Now, Peter did have a problem later on, and after Jesus was buried and went away, he kind of went back to fishing for a little while. But that decision changed the course of his life forever. He was no longer the same. Everything, the path he was going to take in life was different. This must be true of all disciples, not just those who serve him full-time. Well, I've not been called to serve him full-time. We're not talking about that today. Because all Christians are to follow Christ and are to choose to do so wherever that leads them. That must be the desire of our heart. The reason we fight Christianity sometimes, the reason we fight some of the things in Scripture sometimes, is because if we're honest with it, we just don't want to follow his path. Disciples follow a path that is different than the one they were following before. And let me say this, you don't have to do any works to be saved or to prove you're saved, but let me just say this, if salvation doesn't change anything in you, there is something wrong. It should not be unusual if somebody gets saved and immediately they start living for God and their life is different. That ought to just be the norm. I mean, wow, that person is really serious about Christ. If they're saved, everyone should be serious about Christ. But we let everything in this world get in there. The following of Christ was not just about a direction, follow me. It was about changing them and making them different. I will make you. Now, don't get me wrong. Direction in life is important because the direction you're on, the direction you're taking, will determine the destination you arrive at. I understand that. But one of the things following Jesus' direction is he changes us. I will make you. If you follow me, it's not just we're walking down the path together and, the silly little things that we buy into Christianity, footsteps. And I'm not, if you like that, I'm not against it. It's just a little too feminine for me. I'm sorry. I walk in there, there's four feet, and then next thing you know, I go through it, and he's carrying me. And I get it. He carries us, and I'm not against that. But for the fact of the matter, most Christians, that's all it is a little bookmark in a book that you're not going to read. It's not reality in our life. And that's what God wants from us. The reason we follow his direction is so that he will make us different. See, I got saved, but I really don't want God to make me different. Can I just tell you something? Then he's not. God does not force you. God leads you. God guides you. He'll convict us through the truth of Scripture, but we had better choose to follow that path, to follow that leading. This is a Bible principle. He makes us new. Let's look at a few verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why is it that we want to be Christians, but we don't? We want to take the old things we have and not make them new, but just, put a little lipstick on the pig, I guess is the way you put it. Listen, I couldn't understand it. When I got saved and then I got right with God and I went into church, I was about 17, and I went in there. I wasn't in the youth group because I had dropped out of high school. I wasn't in the college group. But I saw those kids. And I saw these church kids, some of them, and I'd hear them, and they're talking about going into the world, and I'm thinking, why would you want to go there? I just ran out of that as fast as I possibly could. Why would you want to be a part of that? I didn't want to be saved and just keep the old stuff. I wanted to run from that and find something new and better, which you find in Christ. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the first verse after the two verses on salvation. When we trust Christ, for we are his workmanship, new product, that's what that means, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God makes us completely new. Amen. God wants us to be new. God wants us to experience that new life. He doesn't want us to just be what we were before. One way we become new is by rejecting and getting rid of the old. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off all the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God says, take all that old stuff that you did before you were saved, the stuff that you didn't even understand was wrong. You just were involved with it, and that all these old attitudes and actions, and take those, put those off, and put on the new man. Get rid of that old stuff. By the way, that old stuff is all stuff inside of us. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that means manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is centered in righteousness and true holiness. Now, we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, as Roman tells us. If we want to be transformed on the outside, we must be renewed on the inside, and we can put on the old man and put off the old man. What's the point? God wants us to be different. Amen. Different. If a follower of Christ will be different, we will not be willing to follow his directions unless we are willing to allow him to make us different. But see, we're so caught up. We're concerned about what our friends will think. We're concerned about what our family will think. We're concerned about what our coworkers will think. Listen, and I didn't do it right, but when I got right with God, I didn't call my friend, I didn't say anything. I just quit going to hang around them. I remember I'm home on a Friday night, which was very rare. And I'm home on a Friday night, and two of my buddies came by and says, man, where you been? We haven't seen you in a month. This is before cell phones and social media. And I'm like, oh, you know. And they're like, what were you just now doing? What were you doing tonight? And to be honest with you, I know it wasn't all the time. I wasn't spiritual Sam, 24 hours Bible. But I was in my back room reading my Bible and studying it. And I'm like, I was reading my Bible. That got their attention. And you're like, okay, hey, you know, we got to get going. Right, we'll see you guys later. Now, I started picking them off one by one, and I'd bring them to church with me and, you know, bring them over to the house and witness to them and that type of thing. But I quit going over to their house because I knew what that would lead to. Yeah. I knew I was different, and I knew if I was with them, especially in a group setting, I wasn't going to be different. God wants us to be different. That is why the Ark story that we read is so damaging. It's the story of Christianity in America wanting to pretend to follow his direction without any obligation to be different. It doesn't work. Jesus gives lifestyle requirements for discipleship. Jesus does not give lifestyle requirements to become saved. It's all by grace through faith, not of works. But once we're saved, if we're going to really follow him, he gives lifestyle requirements. Look at Luke. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 14, I blurted out the verse there. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We think anybody that just says they're a disciple, they're in. Jesus says, no. You are not a disciple if you are not willing to be able to do the things that I ask you to do. So the starting point of the disciple is submitting to his direction and be willing to follow his path no matter how difficult it is. Two things I want us to notice before we move on. First, most Christians will not completely follow Christ because they are not willing to change the direction of their life or the lifestyle that they live. I'm just to be real honest with you. A couple weeks ago, we preached out of Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, all the other thing, and then they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, what happens is, if they don't like what's being said, it's like, well, I just don't like your church. I'm going to go find a church that will say something they do like. They just will. They're going to find somebody. John sent me a message today I listened to, and the guy was talking about Moses and said, listen, when Moses got up to the mountain, they found Aaron who would do exactly what they wanted to do. They weren't looking for another leader. They were looking for someone that would do what they want them to do, that would back up the truck a little bit. And that's what happens. Most Christians, I'll just find something different. I'll find something that meets my level of commitment or lack thereof. Let's just be honest. Let's quit trying to Christianize fleshly lifestyle. Let's just stop doing it. Let's just stop. Okay? I like honesty. I would rather have someone come to me and say, listen, I know that's wrong, but I just choose to do it anyhow. Just be honest. I would have more respect than someone that's, that's just other people's interpretation. No, it's pretty well common sense. Pretty well scriptural. Secondly, there is no way around it. The main change in a Christian is living a life fulfilling God's purpose on this earth. Now, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. But what did he say he would make us? Anybody know? Fishers of men. See, that's the key thing for Christians. The key thing we're supposed to, now we need to do, again, there's so many things that help us as Christians, we need to do, reading our Bible, praying, all that stuff. But you know what the main activity of a Christian needs to be outwardly? Sharing the gospel. Trying to get people saved. That's the first thing he told them here. That's why a Christian with a bad lifestyle is very damaging to the gospel of Christ. I'll give you an illustration. Can I, Jerry? Thanks. Jerry told me years ago, he was working somewhere. He was a Christian, but he was not righteous. Far from it, yeah. You're only a little bit closer now, but that's okay. And the guy at work came up to Jerry and said, hey, Jerry, are you a Christian? And Jerry said, yes, I am. He goes, can you do me a favor? Don't tell anybody. Because I'm a Christian too, and I'm trying to get the gospel to these guys, and you're kind of a bad testimony. That took courage. But that's right. Exactly. We see, our direction of life, the way we live, is a testimony. You know, a lot of people, that they don't want to, because they've met Christians. It's very important. We are either the best advertisement there is for Christianity, or we're the worst.
Absolutely.
Now, this wasn't a message I'd plug for summer saturation, but you ought to be here.
Come on.
All of us need to be able to share the gospel. All of us need to be able to share our faith. Now again, there's so much more in Christianity, I get it, but if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not in it to reach people, you say, well, I just want to love God. I just want to follow and love Jesus. Okay, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, thy mind. But the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't separate those two. And the most loving thing you can do for a person is tell them about Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. But if we're not willing to follow Christ, you know, I know that was kind of hard. When I first was living for God, just to even say the name Jesus, I wasn't used to that, but I kind of got used to it. And then going out and talking to people, and it was like, I got to do this. And I love it. But let's follow him. He will make us different. Let's pray.